We are now joined by Northfield Fire Chief Tom Nelson. Good morning,
Chief
sir.
Of Fire.
That's Chief right. of Fire.
Is already one of my new favorite guys. 5 minutes and I'm like, I like this yeah. guy.
So is it still Kim, the friend we can count on?
Okay.
Or is that buried?
That was a Wayne Eddy era
yeah.
thing. And we let that go with Wayne.
All right.
Cool. We miss Wayne. Yeah. We miss Wayne every day. We don't miss the kid.
I still hear him in my head sometimes, what things he'd say. And I laugh. So
I've got at least two promos that still use Wayne's voice.
Nice.
So, yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Anyway, so anything burned down lately?
We're going to talk a little bit about a fire at Post Consumer Brands.
Oh, that's right.
And we're going to just talk a little bit about that in process, because right. that was really interesting. And our friend Pam Thompson mm-hmm. wrote a really nice article, and so I'm going to kind of parlay on that.
Okay, good.
First thing I was thinking yeah. of last night, and I know Logan talked about it too, is it was that first snow mm-hmm. that everyone, it's like the first, it's when you started to go from crawling to walking.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a couple things, you know, we were running around, and there were no serious injuries up in Rice County, which was nice. The one thing that still concerns me, especially when, you know, it's getting so dark so early, is I'll pull up to a scene, and there's three people standing outside their car.
Oh. Mm.
And that's how people get killed, whether yeah. it's responders. Yeah. We've all got the vests, and it's our policy. You get out. But it is so, so, so dangerous. And what I've told my kids is either stay, you know, if you're in a crash and the car's fine, it's not on fire or whatever, mm-hmm. stay in the car.
Yeah.
Because that's what keeps, that's your buffer. And what I've also said, if you're on the freeway and if something happens and you've got to pull over or whatever, you trudge up to that fence that's at the end of the right of way. You are clear. Yeah, we're going to walk through the snow or whatever, but get out of the way.
Yeah.
And so that's the one thing. There are going to be crashes, we know that. Mm. And let's just make sure that it doesn't, there's no collateral damage.
Right.
Yeah.
So right. that's important. I mean, I just wanted to bring that up a little bit.
We've all seen the YouTube videos from squad cars of you know, a trooper gets out of his car and he's talking to somebody and then something comes careening just, in and mm-hmm. So
be
careful. If you're a motorist, you can even if it's dark, you'll clearly see something going on.
And
it'll be weird.
Back to those things of leave yourself space, leave yourself reaction time. Don't be on your phone, especially if the weather conditions are bad.
Right.
Use common sense, all the stuff that whoever taught you how to drive taught you.
Yeah.
And the things that you hopefully tried to pass on to anyone you've taught to drive.
Slow down and pay attention.
Slow down and pay attention.
Yep.
So in the radio business, we would call this forward promotion.
All right.
Because at 8:00 today, if you're looking for something to do at the Northfield Fire Station, it is the monthly Joint Powers Board meeting.
Okay.
Joint Powers Board is Northfield, Dundas, and the rural township reps, and they are the ones who run. They're my boss for Northfield Area Fire Rescue. So what's really nice, as I've mentioned recently, is there's not any drama.
Right.
I know it's kind of boring if you're looking for reality TV or watching you know, council meetings or pick your topic.
Yeah.
What's nice is all the reps that are there because they want to help their constituents and me run the fire department and get whatever we need.
Right.
So one of the things, you know, so we don't have a huge agenda this month, but one of the things that I'm going to do, we had 42 calls in October, which is high, 42 fire calls.
That's a lot.
And we typically run in the 20s, maybe 30. I'm going to go through with the board and say, here, let's just run through the list. These are the calls, and I'll tell you what we found. And the other thing, and they're all over the map from, you know, smoke alarms, which always go off at 3 a.m. They never go off at noon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To other things, just so that people can get a handle. So the board understands, again, what kind of stuff are we going on? The other piece that I like to go through with them, and I do it with the membership each at the beginning of each month when we go through, is here's what the full-time chief fire code official has followed up on with these things. And so really for me, there's three things that I really am trying to work on. Let's say if we get a residential fire alarm out in the country, alarm company calls back, they cancel us. Typically, either me or one of the assistant chiefs will either call or follow up with them and say, so why did this happen? Oh, well, and then we stop out and look and say, oh, well, this smoke alarm that's connected to your burglar alarm, is really close to the kitchen, or it's really close to the shower, or something like that, and try to make it so that we prevent the next call, because selfishly, it's a drain on our resources, it's crying wolf, and try to come around on that. The other thing we do with follow-ups is to say, for commercial fire alarms, what happened, what caused this? So it's part of kind of our public education piece and selfishly trying to prevent it from happening again. So this month we had a call at Post, formerly Malto Meal.
Yeah.
And we get there a couple times a year, it seems like.
Really?
It's a fire typically in one of their process pieces of equipment. So the big thing that makes whatever kind of cereal it is. You know, and think of it, it's like a mill or like a grain elevator where they're processing grains, and so that's organic and it can burn. Mm-hmm. Just like we're talking about cooking and seeing if you can light up the family kitchen over Christmas and Thanksgiving. So we had a fire there, and there were some struggles that we found. And so what was cool is I went back to the plant and said, there's some things that we have to deal with you folks. And we work together on to address some fire code operational issues. Mm-hmm. So how we, the fire department, get in and how we work through this. And remember, the biggest thing for Post is biosecurity, meaning, and that's a really nice euphemism for, you use those hoses at the hog barn,
right?
And now you're coming into our processing.
Yeah.
So they handle most of the stuff over there because you can't just walk in. If you walk in, they have to clean and clean and clean. So we had a follow-up meeting last week, and I said, I want these people in the room, ones that can talk about how the machines are programmed, how they work, how we get access, and we'll talk about what went right and what went wrong.
Right.
What is so cool working with them is it's that classic, they're our partners.
Yeah.
Because it's in their best interest to get the plant running again, to prevent this stuff, get us in and out.
Right.
And they always sit down. And so I brought kind of a list together and said, can we get this, this, and this? Can you change the programming so that these doors open? We'll get it done.
Yeah.
You know, most of us, the only thing we think about with Post is what we smell in the morning when we're driving or when we go to the grocery store. But as Pam's article in the paper this week did, and it really is that there's a lot behind the scenes that they're doing, and they really are partners.
Yeah.
And that's something that you don't see in every industry.
No, no. I want to go back to the inspector part of your job, because I was over just across the street here, and I saw you pull up to Jersey Mike's, and it wasn't to get lunch. It was too early.
A chance of that too. Okay. Oh no!
and it got me wondering. You know, when there's new construction like that, and for a restaurant, I mean, there's got to be what's the process there? Because I would think you have to be heavily involved in that.
Yeah, and what's really nice is we partner so well with the city of Northfield and the city of Dundas building officials. So each respective city is emailing me. I meet with Mike Morehouse at least weekly on things. And what's nice, too, is he can be my backup and say, okay, at Jersey Mike's, they're going to be doing a flush of the sprinkler main coming out of the ground. We got to make sure there's no rocks. That's part of code. I'm going to be at this meeting. Can you go to that? Yep, he can go to that. So, yes, a lot of that thing, when there's plan reviews that come in, both for Northfield and Dundas, they get sent to me. So I go through and I have a checkbox on, let's say, the city of Northfield's process for getting a permit. We look at site review early and say, yesterday, Mike Morehouse and I were in a meeting with the architect on the ice arena.
Right.
With Dave Bennett, Jason Dwelly, and we're going through, and Mike's asking questions, and I'm asking questions, where a fire hydrant's going to be, is this door going to face the right way? So everyone wants to be in early, because it's a lot cheaper to do it with, you know, I'll use the old school, the eraser and the pencil, to change the print than when you're walking through and doing final.
Right.
So that's one of the big things. It's that no surprises for the developer.
Yep.
Is there's some things they may not want to hear, but they'd rather hear it early on.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they'll come with questions and say, hey, we're thinking this, we're thinking that. And Mike and I will talk and say, you know, this seems reasonable, mm-hmm. or no, you can't do that. We've been through plans for the Archer House several times already at a high level,
good.
Just so that we know and what we're talking about. Is it going to be sprinklered? Yes. These kind of things. So that's exactly right. And then fire sprinklers and fire alarms are permitted through Northfield Area Fire Rescue, not through the city of Northfield.
Okay.
So I have some permits that I'm inspecting. Mm-hmm. Mike obviously has the building of permits and those inspections. And again, we're so close together, work so close together that, oh yeah, Mike will say, hey, I was walking through, that looks like they're going to be closing up some sprinkler heads if they called you for a rough-in.
Okay.
So, yes, and all those things we never had time for.
Yeah.
And then, like with any kind of commercial kitchen, then there's the final test of the hood suppression system.
Right.
So Mike and I are both there to make sure that if something happens and they pull the knob or it goes off, that there's no fire in the kitchen that's going to take care of it.
Why do I get the feeling that when they finally complete the Archer and there's going to be at least one restaurant in there, the test of the hood suppression system might be the most important thing that happens in the entire construction.
Yeah, and you think about it, it's no matter if it's at home, where are the most fires started?
Mm-hmm.
In the kitchen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
It's, yeah, that makes sense.
And it's where open flame is.
Right. You know, I we've talked about this in the past, and I'm sorry because I don't remember the answer. You get an uptick on calls on Thanksgiving. Of course you do. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I think about, you know, the holiday safety things is we had a call last month where someone had a candle in, you know, my kids are like, Dad, how come we can't have candles? Because I'm the fire chief. We can't have candles. And I think of before we had kids, Marilyn and I, we'd love to have candles around. It's like, no, we're not having candles. Those are the things that, like I said, we had one on the east side of town where it started some stuff in an office. You know, it was the home office on fire of contents.
Oh.
We had one a year ago where someone was in an apartment building and they had a candle going, which they're not supposed to have anyway.
Yep.
The curtain blew and it started, you know, so
candles
it starts
and curtains,
somewhere.
Man.
It's going to start with some kind of open flame.
And it's probably going to be very accidental. You know, like you walked away for a moment and like you said, the curtain and the breeze or something. Because I always laugh. My husband loves candles and sometimes he'll light like 20 of them. And I'm like, are we having a seance? Who are we summoning?
It's the power out.
Right. Like, and he's like, no, I just really want candles. But I think about that so much, especially because we live in an older home.
Oh,
You know, so it's like, I feel like, is this thing just going to go up like a Roman candle one of these days?
Do you do residential inspections? Because maybe you could go over to Ryan and Craig's house and just put the fear of God into
Craig.
Might
not be a bad idea.
You know, then we might end up having to do a condemning. You know, it's, depending on you, it's that be careful what you wish for.
Right. So true.
But
so
that's a really good point, too, because, you know, I was walking around the house, and we all have, most of us have the Amazon truck show up, right? Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm, at our house. Mm-hmm. At our house, I was downtown, and I saw one of the nice UPS drivers.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, you live up on Lockwood Drive, right?
Yeah.
Oh, your wife is such a sweetheart. I love your wife. Oh, it's like, are you going to get a Christmas card too?
Small
now?
Town so, living, man.
But that's, the point is
you got to love it.
When all that stuff comes, what are you doing with all that cardboard?
Yeah.
Today was Northfield's recycling day for the Nelsons up on the side. So we cut up all that cardboard. And so those are the things that combustibles are what would fuel any kind of fire.
Okay, so I have a question then for you because we have a fire pit in our backyard and we like to save our cardboard for like starter, you know, right? So is it okay to have maybe just like, you know, a small amount of cardboard, but you don't want to have like a massive pile of cardboard is kind of what I'm
totally.
Thinking?
Okay. No. Yep. Yeah. And you're using it as starter and that totally, and it works great.
Yeah.
But it's just like accumulating it. And so we all know what it's like when you come in the holidays and it's like, you've got cardboard and boxes and crap and clutter. Mm. Put that stuff away.
Yeah.
And then try to use the thing of, oh my gosh, we haven't opened this in a year or 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Do we really need this box? And so part of it is to save whoever has to go through your stuff after you die, right? But at least think about it as it's going to help us, the firefighters and responders, and it's going to help you to get out of the house if you need to. So those are some of the holiday things. What's nice now is I remember when, as a kid, we'd put the lights on the tree, and it was a nice tree from Reber Paulson's Woods.
Sure.
And then you put those lights on that if they're on and you touch them, you get burned, right?
Yep,
the good old days. We don't really have to worry about that now with LED lights, which is nice. Right. But
do people still try to put candles on their Christmas tree?
I have
I can remember that from when I was a kid.
Oh, like, but
people
had
candles
thing,
on their Christmas trees.
Oh, yeah. And then it just glows nicer if you pour a little kerosene.
It gets warmer, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just think about that as you're getting ready for the holidays and as you're going out shopping or whatever. There's those nice cardboard bins down at, I call it Erickson's. Family Fair today.
I've been through that entire process too.
Then there's also one at the Firehouse Liquor lot out in Dundas. Is just load up the car and then don't put it in the car and drive around for 2 weeks like you do with the clothes that's going to go to the clothes closet.
I do that.
But just get it out of the house.
Exactly.
Yeah, notable incidents we talked about, and post that, that was a good...
This is your annual opportunity to remind me to get the propane out of my garage.
Any of us that were... I saw it, somebody posted it. You know, I'm on follow a bunch of these fire department things. There was an incident up in Bemidji at the early part of the month where the dad and five boys went into a storage container, and there was... propane cylinders stored in there and lit up a cigarette and it exploded and all of them ended up in the burn unit. And so I just looked for an update last night. It was critical stable at that point, and so hopefully they're on the mend, but there is no place where it is safe to store propane inside. What you can store inside are those cans that you'd use for soldering, you know, plumbing, or the ones you screw into the Coleman things. You can't have those 20-pound propane cylinders in an attached garage, in an unattached garage. So as you put stuff away, go out, and I'll sometimes see people will post, like, on Marketplace something in their garage. It's like, what's that grill doing in there with a propane tank? So look around. Take those things and put your propane, just put it outside by the air conditioner or something where it's outside, where if it leaks, it's just going to go up in the air.
Right.
Don't have it anywhere inside because that it can be an explosive, not only for you, the homeowner, the resident, for responders.
Yeah.
They're like a missile. So that's just a big thing. I really just wanted to also round out with saying thank you to two members of our board that are going to be sunsetting at the end of the year. Elizabeth Haza from Carleton and St. Olaf. She's environmental health and safety for both colleges. She has been great for me and the department tipping up code enforcement of being someone on the ground at both colleges to help me navigate that process. Over Christmas or holiday, whatever, over winter break between St. Olaf and Carleton, I'm going to be going through four residence halls at each campus because they're in situ, right? They still have all the stuff in them. You don't want to go through the dorms in the summer.
Right.
That's like going through a vacant house.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to go through, we're going to look in each room and we're going to say, okay, are there things, are there candles? anything like that? Are there electrical hazards?
Those, they're not candles, but they use like the Scentsy, like they melt wax, you know, have you seen those?
No.
Like, they're kind of like a, they're supposed to be like a air freshener thing.
Somewhere between incense and...
Because I was curious if those have been an issue, but maybe not quite so much. Because they use very low heat just to like melt the wax a little bit.
With
so
an open flame or is it
no,
with a,
like it's
a
more
plug-in.
Of like a, it's a plug-in deal.
Okay.
Yeah, those probably aren't as big of a
deal.
Yeah,
and so the one thing too about is that there has been such a history of issues in dorm rooms that the fire code specifically says in a sleeping dwelling unit in a dorm or residence hall, no open flame.
Mm. Yeah.
Because of Seton Hall, and there's other things you can Google. Yeah. And so it's like, no, you can't have incense. If you're going to smoke up, go outside, you know, whatever you want to do. But you can't have candles or anything because that's been how people have died.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but yeah, Elizabeth Haase has been great for me at the college, at the colleges, as a member of our board. And another one is one of the appointments from the council is Jamie Reister.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie has been fabulous in tipping up what we're doing now, is having a full-time chief, having code enforcement, and being able to help bring that back to her council to say, this is something we should do. It's going to cost us more money, but it is so worth it.
Right. When Jamie came on board and was appointed to NAFRS, I kind of got the impression of that that was a little bit of a fish out of water situation. But man, she walked right in there, and like from almost the first council meeting that she attended after one of yours, she was always talking about NAFRS during those council meetings.
Yep. I mean,
yeah.
And what's really nice too, and I didn't even realize it, is that she is on the hospital board.
Yeah.
And she and I talked because I'm hoping that she's going to continue on the hospital board. And so much of what makes it that NAFRS can be successful is having Northfield Hospital Ambulance taking care of probably 90% of the medicals in town.
Right.
And that's huge. And so I said, we need that voice and support, especially as we have new CFO, new president at the hospital, is just to make sure that they understand the larger picture, how we, the community and NAFRS, counts on having a solid EMS service run from the hospital.
Right, right. Well,
did
sir,
we fill the time?
Did we ever.
Nice.
Well done.
I hope Tim isn't sitting there. No,
I'm actually running a little ahead of schedule today. So
I'm not allowed to call him for another 2 minutes, but I did get a text the other day from him at like 8 or 7:50, going, "Hello, are we doing?"
Yeah, yesterday we ran way over.
So just a little bit. Tim has a side gig,
you
know, his main gig. But one of the things that, and we had a meeting with him a couple months ago at the Dakota Fire Chiefs.
Yeah,
he has been such a proponent about making sure that firefighters have coverage for cancer.
Yeah.
And has done so much on that, and has really passed the torch on that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that none of us want to think about, but it's so prevalent in the fire service.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are walking into burning boxes of carcinogens.
Yeah. I mean, basically. And it's so different than it was 20 years ago, where, I mean, back in the days, 30 years ago, when it was wool carpet and, you know, everything was a natural fiber. It's like everything is, I've heard someone say, the plastics are solid diesel fuel.
Oh, basically. Wow.
You know, they considered diesel fuel in a solid form.
And how many buildings around here still are chock full of asbestos, too? I mean, it's got to be.
I was going to say, because like in my home, was built in 68, so I almost guarantee there's asbestos in my house. Not to mention, we have LVP flooring throughout my entire home. So it's like there's a lot of plastics and material, you know, fake materials.
So, and so the key is, I mean, it used to be like, oh, you never wash your gear, your helmet or anything because it's a badge of honor. Now it's like you get after that call, you run your gear through the machine.
Yeah.
So, thanks to Tim for that, for helping out a lot of folks in the fire service.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
And thanks to you for coming in a week early.
I appreciate it. And again, if you're bored, we'll see you at 8 o'clock at the Northfield Fire Station.
Boy, I wish I could be
there. I know. I maybe
just so wish
what is
be
so
there.
Nice is that it is such a non-event, which is perfect because it took a long time to get that way compared
absolutely.
To... You know, Northfield and Dundas and the rural and everyone.
Yep.
And we've got a whole group that's like, what does the fire department need? How can we support it?
Right.
That's
cool.
That's how it should be.
It should be.
Yep. Thanks, Tom. We'll see